In the Sefer Yetzira, let's talk more practical first. If anyone needs to leave at any point to catch Ma'arev somewhere, we'll try to have a Ma'arev at the end of Ritz Hashem, and it's a 10:45 B'nai Yashirin, if anyone needs. But we'll try to, for those who haven't davened and want to stay, everyone's obviously welcome to walk out in the middle if they need to, but we'll... For those who want to stay, we'll try to have Ma'arev at the end, and we'll make sure there's options in town for those who need. But Michael Achayel, in the Sefer Yetzira, Sefer Yetzira describes how everything in the world operates in three dimensions. In Olam, in Shana, and Nefesh. Which means that everything that's true in the Olam, in a particular place, is true in the Shana, is true at a particular point in the calendar year. And there's a corresponding nefesh, there's a corresponding person or soul or aspect of the neshama, of the nefesh, of the soul, that corresponds to that time and to that place. Let's just talk for a few moments about nefesh and shana. You know, in nefesh we... Thank you. In nefesh we normally assume a klal that there's a principle of Yiridas HaDoros, which means that as time goes on, as the souls in the later part of Jewish history come down to this world, those nefashos, those neshamos, again there's differences between nefesh and neshama obviously, but those various aspects of the soul are in a constant state of descent. Which means that those who are born farther away from the avos and the imos, and those of us who are farther away from having stood, even though all of us, all of our neshamas were there, but those of us who are farther away from having stood historically at our Sinai, there's a certain descent of the souls. A certain yiridas hadoros, yiridas haneshamos. And yet in a very strange and paradoxical kind of way, the Tzaddik HaKohen of Lublin quotes from Rav Simcha Buna of Preshischa. He writes in Parshas Vayechi, She'af sha'anefashos miskatne b'chol dor v'ador. Even though the nefashos, even though the souls, it's true, it would be foolish to think otherwise, it's true that the souls are getting weaker and weaker and lower, and farther away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and His Torah, and all that Kedusha represents, it's true there's a Yerida, there's a Niskatnu Adoros that's taking place. In a strange and paradoxical kind of way, there's a certain aspect of the neshama, a certain aspect of the nefesh, a certain Nekuda Shebelev, that becomes more refined and more pristine and more pure and more connected as time goes on. And again, if that's true in the world of nefesh, it has to be true in the world of shana as well. It has to be true in the corresponding concept of shana, which means that if we look at the calendar year, there's also a yirida. As time goes on, the calendar, as it spins cycle after cycle, as we get farther and farther away from those moments where we first learnt and heard from HaKadosh Baruch Hu of these Yom Tovim, there's a certain Yerida that takes place within the Yom Tovim. Pesach's Gevaldik, but we don't have a Karban Pesach. And Sukkot, we have a Simchas Beis Shueva, but we don't have a Simchas Beis Shueva. We don't have the Simchas Beis Shueva. And Yom Kippur, Yitzumo Shayom Machaper, maybe we don't pask in that way, but we all certainly feel that way. Yitzumo Shayom Machaper, it's a day of cleansing of the soul, and yet, we lament and we cry and we complain to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the recitation of the Avodah that we don't have the real Avodah. And we don't have a Kohen Gadol who goes Lefnai V'Lifnim. So there's a Yerida within the Yom Tovim as well. But based on this klal, I think we can suggest, just like Rav Simcha Bunim tells us, and we all feel it, we all know it to be true, that on the one hand, yes, there's a Yerida Sadoros, and yes, we're farther and farther away, and it becomes harder and harder to be an honest and sincere Eved Hashem as time goes on. But there's an aspect that becomes more and more pure, more and more connected. The same thing has to be true within Shana. Within the calendar year, as the Yom Tovim become harder and harder in some ways to feel connected to, there has to be a Yom Tov. There has to be an aspect of a Yom Tov. A Nekuda Shebelev. A Yom Tov that corresponds to that Nekuda Shebelev. That gets better and better as time goes on. And that Yom Tov, of course, is Chanukah. The Yom Tov that gets better, again, in a paradoxical kind of way, in a strange and almost a sad kind of way. Because the Gemara tells us in Chulin and Daf Samach, Gemara uses an expression, Shraga b'tiara mayahani. A candle by day, a light in the light of day, a candle in the sunlight, mayahani, how does it help? The dafka, the koch of the ner to be mayor and to actually make a difference, is dafka connected that darkness. Which means that as time goes on, and the galus is still here, and the darkness and the suffering and the difficulties of the galus continues, so there's one Yom Tov that against that backdrop of darkness can get better and better. And that's the Yom Tov of Chanukah. Shagav Tira Mayahani, a candle by day, what does it do? But as galus gets darker, as the spiritual darkness gets darker, as time goes on, through that you read Asadoros, there's a certain Yom Tov of Chanukah that means so much more to us. That candle becomes so much more critical to hold on to. It's much more a part of who we are, and what we need to take with us throughout the calendar year. You know, it's sad, a person could sometimes spend so much time in the dark. Klal Yisrael can be in galus for so long that we become convinced that the darkness itself is light. They tell a maisa of a fellow who was a sweltering hot day, decided to cool off a bit, and he goes down into a cellar. It's colder, it's damper. And as he enters the cellar, coming in from the heat and from the sun, he's immediately blinded by the darkness of the cellar. And a voice calls out to him, someone already is down below, and calls out to him, he says, "Don't worry, come on down." He says, "You'll see. Just wait a few moments, your eyes will adjust to the darkness." And he calls back down to this fellow, who's already been sitting there, obviously, for quite some time in that cold, dark cellar. And he says to him, "That's exactly what I'm afraid of. I'm exactly afraid of that point, that if I spend too much time in the dark, my eyes will get used to the dark, that I'll be convinced that darkness is light." Lubavitch Rebbe said, that's the reality of Klal Yisrael sometimes. That we've spent so much time in the darkness that we're convinced that the darkness is light. It is as bright as it's going to get. We forget that there's a whole world of Geula, a world of so much more light. But says Lubavitch Rebbe, Chanukah is the time of the year where against that backdrop of darkness, we're able to see what light really is. To find out once again by the light of the menorah, by the light of our own neshama is being cleansed by the light of the menorah. To find out what light really is, to find out who we really are, to find out what really could be. And that's why it's so critical that we hold on to this light on Zos Chanukah. That a Jew takes this light with him. As we let go of Chanukah, as we no longer kindle those lights, we take the light of Chanukah with us. We carry it with us throughout the calendar year. Previous Tolna Rebbe of Yerushalayim used to say, not tonight, but tomorrow night, on Motzei Zos Chanukah. The Tolna Rebbe used to say to his Hasidim as they were getting ready to daven Maariv, "Do we say Atachan Antanu tonight?" He used to ask them, "Do we say?" And he would ask it in with a serious expression on his face. And he was known, the Tolna Rebbe, the previous Tolna Rebbe, was known for his anivus and his shiflus and his feigning of amaratzus in order to disguise who he really was. But he used to ask the Hasidim, "Do we say Atachan Antanu tonight? The Yom Tov is over, so do we say Atachan Antanu as we transition back to Chol from Chol?" The current Tolna Rebbe Shlita from Yerushalayim, he put out some of his writings this past year from the last 10 years of Chanukah. So he says that his grandfather, the previous Tolna Rebbe, he meant something very deep by that. And despite, again, it just being a typical expression of his own humility, of his grandfather's humility, there was a deep secret that he was alluding to. The Imre Emes writes, Tafrei Sadi Beis, I think it's the sixth night of Chanukah, he writes. He says that by Shabbos and Yom Tov, by the end of Shabbos and Yom Tov, a Jew has to make Havdalah. Because the aura of Shabbos and Yom Tov, as it dissipates, we have to acknowledge that, and through Havdalah we acknowledge the end of that light, the letting go of that light. But by Chanukah, he also says by Purim, but by Chanukah, he says we don't make Havdalah. We dafka don't make Havdalah. Why don't we make Havdalah? Why don't we make Havdalah? Says the Imre Emes, because ha'or nishar letamid ve'eno holich. Because the light of Chanukah, we're not really letting go of. We don't make Havdalah, we don't say Atachon Antanu. That's what the Tolna Rebbe was hinting to. He was reminding his Hasidim, you know, he didn't know the Halacha. He knew the Halacha. He was reminding his Hasidim, we don't say Atachon Antanu, we don't make Havdalah tonight, because the light of Chanukah is a unique type of light that we have to carry with us. It's not a light that we leave behind. It's a light that we carry with us throughout the calendar year. Because Chas V'Shalom, without that light, you get lost in the dark. You become like that fellow entering into that dark cellar, whose eyes become used to the darkness. And Chas V'Shalom, a Jew becomes used to galus, and he accepts it as the way it has to be. And the Tolna Rebbe concludes, he says, that's the secret of the laning that we'll say tomorrow. The laning of Zos Chanukah Samizbeach, Probably the most pashut reason why we call it Zos Chanukah. Zos Chanukah Samizbeach. We have two psukim at the end of the laning. The long laning. Zos Chanukah Samizbeach b'yom himashach oso. First we say, this is the Chanukah Samizbeach b'yom himashach oso. And then we say, four psukim later, Zos Chanukah Samizbeach acharei himashach oso. This is the Chanukah Samizbeach acharei. That there has to be an inin of a Zos Chanukah that's acharei Zos Chanukah. There's an inin of Chanukah that continues beyond Chanukah. And that's the avoda for us tonight, to try to lock in, to take with us whatever bit of light we've gained over the course of Chanukah, to hold on to it, to take it with us, to remind ourselves that if all the Yom Tovim become harder and harder, there's one Yom Tov that again, as the Golus becomes harder, this Yom Tov becomes that much more meaningful. I don't think I need to explain what it means that the Golus becomes harder. Klal Yisrael, in recent years, in recent times, we've endured a lot, but Prad in recent times in Eretz Yisrael, Klal Yisrael has been through a lot of things, a lot of hardship, a lot of yisurim. My wife showed me a beautiful quote from Ashpi and Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Elimelech Biederman. Beautiful, beautiful quote. And it was part of a chizuk drasha that he gave in light of some of the difficult things that have been happening in Eretz Yisrael. And I never heard the whole drasha, so I don't know if I'm teaching it exactly right. But he said the following. He said, as part of this chizuk drasha, he says, imagine a person comes to visit his friend. And he knocks on the door. And he notices, as he knocks on the door, he sees a little bit of light, a small glimmer of light through the peephole. And then all of a sudden, that peephole, that little window into that world of his dearest friend who he's come to visit, all of a sudden it goes black, it goes dark. And he can't see anything. So what's the pshat? When the peephole goes dark, Rav Biederman said, when the peephole goes dark, it's a sign that the Baal HaBayis is looking at you. It means that your friend on the other side of the door has come to the door. He's come to answer the door. And he's looking at you through that hole. And that's why, for a moment it gets really dark. Stafka, for a moment it gets really dark. And in a second he's going to open the door and he's going to let you inside. Again, I didn't hear the whole drasha. But I want to try just for a few minutes to try to make sense, to try to be ma'arich a little bit and try to understand this beautiful idea. Kol dodi dofek, when we come, we knock on the door. And we think we see a little bit of light, and we think finally maybe, and all of a sudden we're plunged into this darkness. There's a secret to that darkness. It's the same secret that Rav Simcha Bunim was describing, that even though the nefashos are miskatan and behold over a door, there's a certain inner nakuta that gets stronger. It's the secret of the calendar year, missing so many aspects of what make the Yom Tovim so great, and yet at the same time, there's a Chanukah in a paradoxical way is getting brighter, is getting stronger. And the key is to understand what's happening in that moment when that friend presses his eye, when he puts himself up against that other side of the door. You know, Chas v'Shalom, a person could think, when it gets dark all of a sudden, maybe it's a signal from my friend on the other side, maybe he's hiding, maybe he's shutting the lights because he wants to pretend that there's no one home. Maybe it's the ultimate sign of go away. And for a moment, a person panics. And we have to remind ourselves that really this is just a momentary, again, a stop en route to much greater light. That for a moment the peephole goes dark. But it's your friend really drawing close. As the person who is standing far away, all of a sudden he's coming to the door. He's a moment away from opening that door and letting you in. So what's he doing? What's he doing making it so dark for a moment? He's just looking through that hole one last time. He wants to just confirm, is this truly my dear friend, the one who I love so much? Is it the one who I've been waiting for so long? I want to just be sure that it's the person that I'm expecting on the other side. But Chas v'Shalom, in that moment, in that split second, compared to what's to come, in that split second of darkness, again, there's that terror, there's that panic, there's that moment of the light that I had is suddenly gone. But we have to remind ourselves, and this I think is, again, the avodah of Chanukah, that first glimmer of light that a person saw through the people is nothing compared to the light that a person's going to experience when your dear friend opens that door. And he invites you into his brightly illuminated home. And you spend time together and you come face to face. You just have to understand what that temporary moment of darkness that's taking place on the other side of the door represents. And that's what Chanukah is. Chanukah is that reminder, it's that ability to understand that light that lies on the other side of the door. To hang on to that first glimmer of light that you saw. That moment of light when you first looked from your end through the people before it became totally dark. To carry that light with you. to hold on to that light and to know that much brighter light is right around the corner. It's that black backdrop upon which these beautiful colors, these illuminating colors, are going to be painted. Zohar Kadosh has a klal. Zohar writes, "Less nahora ella hu d'nafik migav chashocha." There could be no light except that which emanates against darkness. So a person looks as time goes on. And again, the galus is hard, I'm not making light of it. But a person feels a sense of yayish setting in. Remind yourself. Remind yourself the avodah of Chanukah is that reminder that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so close to opening the door. Just use that bit of the Ner Chanukah to carry you through, to hold on. Rav Leib Eger says there's really three mitzvos that a person does where the main expression of that mitzvah is by night. And they're all mitzvos of Geula. They're all Yom Tovim of Geula. He says the Pesach Seder is a night of Geula. On Purim, even though we read the Megillah, again by day, and halachically you could argue that the daytime Kriya is the Iker Kriya, but certainly we all feel a certain connection to the Megillah that's read by night, that ushers in Purim, and Chanukah. That's what Rav Leib Eger writes in his Torah Samus. The Divrei Shmuel of Slanim says that really, if you had to pick one mitzvah, it's true by all of them, they're all Yom Tovim of Geula, and they're all Yom Tovim where we dafka express our connection to that Geula by performing a mitzvah at night. But Chanukah is the ultimate nighttime mitzvah. It's the ultimate reminder that there's a light on the other side of that door. And we're so close to receiving it. Says the Divrei Shmuel of Slanim, "B'Chanukah ikar ha-mitzvah lahadlik ha-sener ba-layla. Masha'in keim b'shar ha-chagim uzmanim she-mitzvasim ba-layla uvayom. B'chinas vayi-erev vayi-voker." Chanukah is dafka, an inyan of erev. He says, even Purim, there's a mitzvah by day. Chanukah, it's all about the nighttime. Ava Chanukah kol mitzvaso ba-layla daika. And he quotes from Rav Pinchas Karitzer, one of the early Talmidei Baal Shem Tov, "Shebechanukah mizgala orosh haMashiach." Chanukah is the chinuch, like the Bnei Yisachar says, the preparation, those final stages of preparation for Mashiach. It gives us the clarity to understand what it's going to take to get to Mashiach, to prepare our eyes for the light of Mashiach. "Lerameis sheafilu becheshkos hagadola biyoser kol bechanukah shebezman ze hayom kitzar ba'alelos aruchim." Dafka, in the darkest point of the calendar year, like the nights of Chanukah, Chanukah is a reminder, says Rav Pinchas of Karetz, "Ki oz meir ner Chanukah, dafka, against that darkness, we light a little bit of light, and it's not enough, or so it seems, it's not enough to illuminate our whole life, but it's a reminder, just hang on. This is the first step towards that light that's so close, and you think it's getting darker because your friend is pulling away, lahefich. He's right up against the door, he's so close, he's peering at you through the cracks, like it says in Shir HaShirim. V'chein ye'orosh ha-Mashiach, Sheavkias cheshchus ikvus of the Mashiach, the darkness is going to be pierced by the light of Mashiach, the darkness of the ikvus of the Mashiach, the final days in which we're living. Umbala aretz deyas Hashem, u'ra'u kol basar yachtiv ki pi Hashem diber. And we'll be able to see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mamish right there on the other side of the door. When it looks like all is lost, when it looked like timu kol hashmanim, as the Gemara says, as we just sang a few moments ago, as the nusach of Chanukah goes, timu kol hashmanim. This far mess. And then a second later the Gemara says, but they found the Pach Shemen. So it's not really Timu Kol Hashmanim. Why does the Gemara say Timu Kol Hashmanim? That all of the oil was Tamei. If in fact there was this Pach Shemen. I think the answer is very simple. That by normal standards, by any reasonable standard, a person would understand from what they saw, Timu Kol Hashmanim, there was nothing. All of the oil that their eyes could see was Tamei. There was nothing left. It was over. Game over. The Avanim win. And yet these were Jews who understood the secret that Rav Simcha Bunim taught us. That when it's as dark as can be, there's always a brighter light than ever before. A miraculous oil. It has to be here somewhere. And like Tosfos explains in Masechta Shabbos, they dug in the dirt to find that oil. Who would think to start digging in the ground for oil? What made them think that they would find anything? And yet they knew it has to be. It has to be against this darkness. It has to be this light. A brilliant light. Brighter than anything we ever saw before. A greater menorah than any menorah we've ever experienced. It has to be there. And they started to dig. And they started to dig. Until they found that miraculous Pach Shemen. To illuminate their lives. To illuminate the world of Klal Yisrael once again. A reservoir of light that was buried somewhere beneath the dirt. Sutrina Rebbe says, and we know, he said this in Tavshin Samach Dalet. He said, we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when He first created the world, there was a light, a miraculous light. A glimpse of that light that Klal Yisrael were zochet to have for a short period of time. The world was zochet to have for a short period of time. But it was hidden away, like Rashi says at the beginning of Chumash, it was an or haganuz, it was hidden away for the tzaddikim lasad lavo. Says the Suchina Rabbi Shlita, that Or HaGanus, which was hidden away for the tzaddikim, which we imagine is for some tzaddik who maybe we've never even met before, a unique type of tzaddik, who we zochet to once again experience that light. Says the Suchina Rabbi, don't forget to amich kulam tzaddikim. Don't forget that every Jew has a bechina of tzaddik. And while every one of us experiences that light in a hidden way throughout the year, it's an Or HaGanus mamish, on Chanukah that light comes out bizgalus. There's a revelation of that light. There's a feeling that a Jew can see himself as that tzaddik, as someone who can be worthy of that light. When timu kol hashmanim dafka in that moment, I'm able to see myself like never before. There's a new light, a new recognition of self. And that was the courage of those Jews who searched and found that secret reservoir of light. I shared a story on Yom Kippur with some of the people who are in the room. And I have to repeat it again, even though I don't like repeating stories, because it's the ultimate Chanukah story. A couple towns over, there's a place called Passaic. Maybe you've heard of it. So one of the many shuls that exist in Passaic, there's a rabbi by the name of Rav Eisenman, Rav Yitzchak Eisenman. He has a couple of svarim, a couple of books that he put out. And in one of his books, he tells the following story. He says that by Yom Kippur, there's dafka and inyan. You look in Shulchan Aruch even. It's broad. There's a big inyan of light. Our homes should be rightly illuminated. It replaces the lack of food that we use to celebrate the Yom Tov. We replace that with light. The shul is brightly illuminated. The homes are brightly illuminated. It's brought la'alacha. It certainly has other sources as well. And Rav Eisenman is looking at his shul, and he's describing how his shul, he writes in the Sefer, his shul is built in this not so, I guess, practical way, as many shuls are, that in the heichal, in the sanctuary, right, the roof of the shul, the ceiling of the shul, is about 40 feet high, which is very nice and aesthetically very pleasing and beautiful, except when you need to change a light bulb. And Rav Eisenman is looking, he says it was about a week before Yom Kippur, and he's thinking about this halacha, the importance that the shul should be properly lit for the upcoming Yom Tovim. And he looks up and he sees that 40 feet up, a couple of light bulbs are out. How does one even begin? I always wonder. I don't know how Beth Abraham changes the light bulbs. How do they change the light bulbs? Call David Markowitz. Okay. The same way you get a Zos Chanukah test. She called David Markowitz. So how do you change the light bulb? So they said that he describes how there's this crawl. You have to go to the roof and there's a crawl space. It's very dangerous, he said. And you have to lower yourself down into the space and you basically hang upside down and you reach out and you hope you don't fall and you disconnect the light bulbs. Okay. So Rav Eisenman's getting ready. He said the custodians of the shul were not particularly fond of this job, but his son Aryeh was very interested in the opportunity to hang upside down from the top of the shul to change the light bulb. So he tells his son, okay, you're going to change the light bulbs. He goes to the shul president, and the president says, these are special order light bulbs, we're out of them. Rav Eisenman says, we're not going to have light for Yom Kippur, it can't be. He says, I'm sorry, there's nothing we can do. It takes weeks to get them. Yom Kippur's a couple of days away. Okay. He had already told his son that he'd have the schus to change the light bulb. So he says to his son, okay, at least to make sure that we don't forget for next Yom Kippur, so go up and at least go into the crawl space and at least unscrew the burnt out light bulbs. And that way, after, you know, for next year at least, we'll be ready. Rav Eisenman comes home that day, and he sees his son sitting at the kitchen table, and he says to his son, "Nu, so how did it go today?" So he says to his father, he says, "I took out the burnt light bulb, and I even replaced it." He says, "You replaced the light bulb. I thought we didn't have any light bulbs." So he says to his father, an amazing thing happened. He says, "I forgot." This was his minute. He was the one in charge of changing the light bulb. He says, "When I got into the crawl space, all of a sudden, I found a few old light bulbs, some extra light bulbs, that I must have left there last time I went up to change light bulbs. And I was able to use those light bulbs to fix the burnt out light bulbs." And Rav Eisenman goes on to say that this is really the shorish of Yom Kippur, and it is, and I spoke about that a little bit at the time, but I think even more so, it's the Shorash of Chanukah. When a Jew thinks he's out of light, when a Jew doesn't know, where am I going to find that replacement light bulb in my life? Where am I going to find that little bit of light to carry myself a little bit more until the Geula Shleima? On Chanukah, we search, and we find that hidden reservoir of light. A light that was there all along that we had forgotten about. That we forgot was there all along. Not to be frightened, Chas V'Shalom, by that darkened people in that moment before the coming of Mashiach. Chida writes in his little sefer, Tzipor and Shamir, Rosh Reish Ches, V'asisa menorah zav tar, the Torah says this, V'asisa menorah zav tar, miksha te'aseh ha-menorah. Says the Chida, the Helig Chida, miksha te'aseh ha-menorah. Miksha, from your difficulties, from that darkness, te'aseh ha-menorah. The menorah Zahav Torah is made dafka from the struggles, from the difficulties. From those moments of great darkness is dafka. Like again, that cloud from the Zohar colors, less than the hora, Elahuda nafik migav chashocha. There can be no light except against that backdrop of darkness. So I'll just end with one more maisa. In 1938, there was a family, the Geyer family, that was somehow zochet to get papers to leave Berlin, to leave Germany. And they were coming to America via Holland. And they were on a train at the time from Berlin, trying to escape to Holland. And there was one final checkpoint along the way. They were traveling. It happened to have been the 8th night of Hanukkah that year, 1938. It was also December 25th that year. And you can imagine there were not many Jews on that train. Here they were disguised, and they had their papers, they had the proper paperwork, but they were still nervous. They had to get past one last checkpoint of Nazi guards, Yimach Shemam V'Zichram. And as they're traveling along on this 8th night of Hanukkah, the father, the head of the family, with his wife and his two children, he's feeling very broken, he's feeling very depressed. He knows on this train ride, on this long train ride, which Emir Hashem will lead to a new life, to a safe life, he knows he's not going to be able to light Hanukkah Neros on this last night. And he's sitting there and he's sulking, and his wife sees that he's upset, and she says, "Ones Rachman Apache, Kadosh Baruch Hu will forgive, Hashem will understand," and he's still, "But on the 8th night of Hanukkah, I'm not going to be zochet to light." And they pull into that final stop, and they're all anxious, and he's sweating, and he's nervous. And Nazi guards board the train, they're checking the passports, they're checking the paperwork. And suddenly, all of the lights on the train in that station, all of a sudden there's a blackout. And everyone starts to panic, some people are lighting matches for a few moments of light. And the guards are all flustered and frustrated, how are we going to check the passports, the papers? And all of a sudden this Mr. Geyer reaches into his pocket and pulls out 9 little Neros. And he lights one, and he glues them at the bottom of the Neros, he glues them along the windowsill, and his family sees what's happening, they understand what's happening, they all stand up, and very quietly, right under the nose of the Nazi officers, he recites in the presence of his family, very quietly, on that last night of Hanukkah, 1938, he recites the bracha on the Neros, and all of a sudden he hears someone calls out, there's light in one of the compartments. And some of the soldiers come to his area, and they start to check the passports by the light of his Neros Hanukkah. I guess they didn't know the halacha. they're checking by the light of the Geyer family's Neros, which were lit in so secretively, but yet so much in the face of the Nazi soldiers. And they're thanking him profusely how wise it was to think ahead, to plan ahead, to bring this travel candle set with you. And they quickly check his paperwork. They're not going to search him. He did such a tova to everyone. And they're going by the light of, they're bringing over the passports. Everyone's coming over with their passport to his Neros. And after about a half hour of checking many of the passports along the train, all of a sudden the lights go back on in the station, and the Nazis, they blow out his candles, but they burn for the shir, and he has a huge smile on his face. And there's zochet to make it to safety. You can imagine, this was such a scary moment in his life, the darkest moment in his life. A moment where he feared for his life, where he was ready to give up on his Neros Chanukah. And it turned, against that backdrop of that great terror, of that great fear, it turned into the most beautiful Neros Chanukah that I'm sure he ever lit in his life. So Mir Tzashem, we should all be Zocha. We should understand that when the people go stark, a moment before the Geula, don't be afraid to carry yourself by the Ner Chanukah. There's no Avdallah on Chanukah. We take that light with us. Rav Asher of Stolen said, we need to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Chanukah. We say in the Tefillah, Nusach Sfarad says it a little differently than Nusach Ashkenaz in Ezra Savoseinu every day before we daven Shmona Esrei. Mashpil Geyim Ade Aretz Magvia Shvalim Ade Maro. Pasha Pshara Kadosh Baruch Hu, you send down the haughty ones, you break down the haughty ones, and you lift up those who are humbled. But Rav Asher Stolen said, it's a beautiful tefillah for Chanukah, especially the last night, to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, despite all the darkness, and despite all the struggles and the suffering of Klal Yisrael, to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mashpil Geyim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you send down Geyim, such lofty oros to this world. You send down such beautiful things, Ade Aretz, to the Jews who are buried in the dirt. And Magbi Shvalim Ade Mar. And you lift up the Jewish people to such a high place. Mirz Hashem, we should all be Zocha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the strength by the light of the Ner, the little bit of light that we take with us out of this Chanukah. Mir Tzashem, we should all be zochet to come to that bright, bright light of the Geula. We should be able to have the confidence to search when it looks like that light is nowhere to be found, to go into that crawl space, to find those reservoirs of light, to be a hemshich of those courageous Yevanim, courageous Chashmonaim, who fought off those courageous Yevanim, who were willing to dig in the dirt when it looked like there was nothing at all. And to remember the words of the Stuchina Rebbe, That that Or Ganuz that saved the way for every tzaddik, v'amech kulam tzaddikim, each and every one of us is worthy of it. And Mirtz Hashem, we should still be zocha this Chanukah, Tav Shinayin Hay, to see the Gula Shleim of Mitzvah Meher B'Amin. Amen.